Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Harold. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Love is Blind UK recap of season 1, episode 8 through 9. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
8 through 9. What's in between?
Through.
Leave it up to me to nitpick, huh? Happy exactly. Saturday, everybody. Hey, do us a favor real quick before we even get through in this, right? Because I know on yesterday's the sound was slightly off. I know you said you didn't hear the difference in the car, but it just irked me just a little bit. So if you hear slightly different, please let us know real quick before we get started in this. Appreciate everybody jumping in the chat live. I know somebody's like, hey, well, wait till everybody later in the show to tell everybody to like. The problem is some people may jump out a little early, come back later. So, hey, just like. Every time you come in, just like. So as you're coming in, please like. We like that. And then it shows up, the algorithm, let everybody know we're here, okay? So hit that like button. Hit the subscribe if you're not subscribed. Hit the bell for notifications so that you can find out when we are on. See, look, Jasmine, first time catching a live. Welcome.
Welcome, Jasmine.
Jasmine, I hope you're not driving. I hope you actually have the live chat open because there's a lot of fun in that live chat, okay? So, yeah. And you notice she likes to tweet, says she got my Papa John's and clock it in to do work.
Now I want pizza. I just want wings. So now I'm craving pizza. Thank you.
Is that what it is? Hey, Kevin with the What Up, though, from Detroit. What up? All right, so check it out, man. Before we get started, too, I know it came up in one of the early comments online that we shouldn't call that man Homeless Jesus.
I haven't. I've been calling him Benaya, so I'll let you
go. I've been calling him Homeless Jesus because that's what came up in the chat. And I'm going to keep calling him Homeless Jesus because that's exactly what happened to and why Trump got elected in 2016. We're too damn sensitive. Stop it. We didn't say anything bad about that man.
Just negative reflection on Jesus.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm assuming so. I'm assuming that's what
they meant. How is it a negative reflection on Jesus?
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm assuming that's what they meant. That's why they didn't like it.
Is it a negative reflection on you and me because we don't close the toilet lid before we flush?
It's not on me. I feel fine about it.
Sam Vice says, leave Ben alone. Ben is who he is, and we like Ben, actually. So there you go. All right, well, look, let's get started, man, because this episode, we're actually starting right there with Nicole and Homeless Benaya Jesus. Is that better?
Whatever. So, HBJ has a
Oh, you think we're going to leave that alone? Stop it. You must not know us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I already know what you noticed about this little picnic because yeah. I'm a dog lover.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just wanted to see if you would actually bring it up first.
I did. I saw it so and I said, ooh. So I'm a dog lover. So mm-hmm. Benaya and them are sitting there. Dog walks by. He gives us some great little doggy pets.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start touching the croissants. I didn't see hand sanitizer.
Nope.
I didn't see anything. And I was just mm-hmm. like, ooh, Benaya, you shouldn't do that.
Maybe his hands were blessed. They were automatically clean. So it turned that dog hair into seasoning. Butter and cheese and some spread on that croissant.
I'm just saying, wash your hands before you touch.
Please. That's nasty. Jesus.
Yeah, what's interesting here is Nicole tells Benaya that she wants to close the chapter with Sam and give the ring back. Mm-hmm. And my question is, why hadn't she already done that? Like, why didn't she do that before she connected with Benaya? I thought that was weird. And then Benaya says he doesn't know if he can hold back if he saw Ben. But Ben is kind of right that Nicole gets hoodwinked by Sam because she has not really admitted that he is any of the things that everyone else is saying Sam is.
Yeah, because here's the interesting thing. She says he says all the right things. Jasmine told her. He says the things that people want to hear. He say what she heard. And it's the thing. It's like trying to get somebody to quit one of their vices. You can't make them quit their vice if they don't want to quit.
Right.
Right. So it's like trying to stop somebody from smoking. It's never going to happen. They've got to want to do it.
Right.
Trying to get somebody off crack. They got to want to do it. It's not going to happen just because you want to. I've had to take it all the way there.
Yeah, you sure did. You went to extremes.
Well, nicotine is pretty much like...
it's a drug, but it's not like crack. It's different.
But it's the same thing, right? You got to kind of... She wants to believe... She's been craving that kind of verbiage. And I think that's the problem. This is my thought process. She's been craving that. She finally gets it. I don't want to believe that he was lying then.
When people show you who they are, sometimes you just got to believe them.
You know, the thing about this too is she wants to do it. He doesn't want her to, but should she? Because just because somebody tells you don't do it doesn't mean that you should really listen to them. Does she then, is she right to want to still do it? Even after Benaiah says don't?
Yeah, she's a grown woman. She can't be like, well, Benaiah said I can't.
Then we'd have a different discussion.
Right, that's totally different. I don't think Benaiah is that controlling. He just, I'm glad that he voiced his opinion that he doesn't agree.
Yeah.
He doesn't see the point. Mm-hmm. She could easily just mail it to him.
Yeah.
Ship it to him. Mm-hmm. Something. Leave him at the pods, and he knows where to go. The pods were. He can go pick it up. She could. But if she wants to have that closure for her to move on, so be it.
Exactly. Listen to HBJ. Next up, we see Mariah and Tom, and we find out something very interesting. And I don't think I noticed that Tom's mom was nowhere around until this discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a really quick discussion, but you don't realize that his mom's not around because she has some concerns about the fact that this thing's happening too fast. So she's not really as bought in, which is interesting compared to Maria, because her whole family said, hey, this is weird.
Yeah.
And we support you.
Yeah.
So curious to see how that's going to play out, because he was hoping that Maria's mom, his mom would be able to meet. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen on the wedding day.
Here's a question. Is this, because I've heard people say it gives kind of Pretty Woman vibes with these two, you know, older gentleman, younger woman. And do you think does it give you the vibe that maybe he comes from money and the mom is just a little like, I don't believe in this process. I think she's probably just going to be out for your money in the end and standoffish, or just mother-son vibes?
I think it's just concerns of a mother and her son. I don't get Pretty Woman vibes because Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman was a prostitute. I don't get that from Maria. So I don't know where that vibe comes from. Just because
I saw it in the chat.
Younger.
I've never
I'm just
been
like,
a
where did
Pretty
that
Woman.
Come from? That's a
okay,
Maria is not a prostitute.
Definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, I saw that in the chat a couple times. And I think was in the first four episodes that we did this, and I saw that come up a couple times. But you know, after that, we get to where the couples get together, and also the pod squad. They also get together, right? And Demi and Ollie, the first ones to arrive, surprisingly so, and I love it, breaking the stereotypes.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can be on time. Thank you.
We can be first, too.
Yeah.
And then not just in a race at the Olympics. Dude, as all the couples are arriving, Jasmine and Bobby look like they just stepped right off the magazine cover.
They do.
They look, hey, I don't think I realized how good they look together until I saw them arrive to this, right? But then. Yeah. Another thing I noticed, a lot of kisses, a lot of PDA with all the couples, including Demi and Ollie, but excluding a certain couple there.
Yeah, Kat and Fred, eh?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Kat's pissy about something. And so they don't seem like they're gelling, which, again, editing and camera angles, but they don't seem like they're gelling a whole lot.
Right.
But it was great to see Demi and Ollie looking good, and it was great that other people noticed, because Maria and Jasmine both said, hey, the body language between y'all two, this looks great.
The body language is languaging.
They can get off Ollie's back and leave Ollie alone.
Hey, I'm surprised Jasmine didn't go, well, thank God I said something, because, you know, otherwise he wouldn't be hugging and kissing you right now.
Right. This is
because that's
fault,
how she felt like she.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's Captain Save a Demi. Got it.
Look, Tom and Benaiah had some interesting conversations. Not just one, they had multiple conversations. Beginning with Tom explaining what happened with Maria when she paid for breakfast, right?
Yeah.
And this is a conversation that comes up again later. But he said that Maria said that in her culture, in the initial courtship phase, men should pay for everything.
Yeah.
Is she wrong? Because a lot of women in the States think that, too.
It's not that she's wrong. What bothered me is that they go to dinner, Tom paid. The next day they go to breakfast, she says, hey, I got a babe. And Tom was like, oh, awesome. Now she's upset that he let her pay for it.
Okay.
That makes no sense to me.
She is wrong in that space because
you
can't offer and then be mad that they go, okay.
Yeah. Was that a test? If so, that's a bad test. But don't offer to pay.
Terrible test.
And then get mad that he said, oh, yeah. And it was just breakfast. How much is breakfast for two in the UK? Their breakfast is terrible. They don't have regular bacon. It's that Canadian bacon. It's not great. Probably what? You know, how many pounds would it have been for them to have that she paid? Not a lot. Dinner
not
was
a
probably
lot.
More expensive.
Exactly. And the fact that she offered, my wife told me from the get-go, look, I do breakfast and birthdays. Boom. From the get-go. So early on, I do breakfast. And we got up and went to breakfast every damn day.
You don't even eat dinner. I'm going to save it up for breakfast.
I'm like, I don't even eat breakfast, but hell, we going to breakfast today.
It's like, what do you want for breakfast? I'll take the baby backs, a side of shrimp.
I had no idea Ruth Chris served breakfast. They do today.
Well, they do. I'll take the 8-ounce filet with a lobster tail. We're going to start out with a seafood tower. This breakfast is going to be hitting.
Well, you know, they say breakfast should be the biggest meal of the day. Let's start here.
Right.
All right. Kevin says, Tom is giving me chump vibes. But, you know, like Chocolate Suda said, and Toya also said, Maria shouldn't have offered, right?
And
Happy Gardner does say, though, Maria has been very clear about who she is, what she expects. Tom should not have been surprised. And I think this is the part, and I guess for me, with my wife, we were out somewhere, she tried to pay for something. We would fight over who's paying at the counter. The waitress would be like, just start laughing. Or I'd, hey, babe, look at that. Hand my card. Go, quick, before she gets back. You know, so maybe that's what she wants. And that it's like, okay, she wanted him to put up more of a fight to pay. But to your point, she shouldn't offer.
She shouldn't offer, but it depends. If I'm out on a date, I don't wait for the check to come. Mm-hmm. I just hand my card. Hey,
right.
I got the check. I'm like, do you want the receipt? I'm like, no, just run it.
Right.
I don't need to do that. I don't need to wait till it comes on the table because I've had a bad experience with that. I waited. It came to the table. The person didn't even move. And it was my birthday that she invited me out to eat to the steakhouse. And I still had to pay for it. So, no.
By the way, Chocolate Sumo says, note to self, don't take Tell to brunch.
No, you take me to brunch. Just make sure you have a good line of credit on that credit card. Terrell's going to eat.
Elson says, Tom has deep pockets and short arms. He has a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Tyrannosaurus Tom. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Y'all are hilarious. Oh. Now, the thing that's interesting about this, he said his mom would flip if the little of a man paying for everything in the beginning of the courtship phase. Really? Is it different in England? For anybody, I know we have somebody listening from Jamaica, Jan, who's listening from Jamaica, but what about anybody from England? Because I've seen some people, whether it's in the replay gang or in the live crew, is it different? Is it expected at 50-50?
It's not an England. No, I don't think it's an England thing. It's her culture, her family's culture.
In America, there are a lot of women who expect the men to pay in the early phase. Am I wrong, ladies?
There are women that might expect, but she said culture. In America, people do it because they have different reasons. For her, it was cultural.
What are the
In America,
reasons?
It's not a culture thing that the man pays.
Well, that's why I asked if the English culture is different.
Yeah, but I don't think it's about English. I just think it's her culture being what Moroccan and Muslim. I think that's what it's about. It's not a UK Britain thing.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying. But is it expected? Because Tom is saying his mom would flip her lid if he knew that she wanted the man to pay for everything. Is it not in the English culture for the man to pay early? I mean, that's my point.
I think it's fine to go 50-50 on some stuff.
Yeah.
When you get married and live together, then you figure out who owns what bill and y'all make it work.
But Sammy wraps it all up, says if you expect that, don't offer, and then get upset.
100%.
That I agree with.
100%.
Totally. Yeah. Great way to wrap that. But there were some other things that were said between Tom and Benaiah as well, too.
Yeah. So Benaiah starts talking about how he's not excited to see Sam. And if there's an ounce of disrespect to Nicole, he won't have it. And I'm sorry. Benaiah just doesn't look like the tough guy that's going to intimidate anybody.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's great what you're saying. That sounds good. But let's dial that back. Like, I'm not going to stand for this. Yes, you are. You're going to stand for it. You're not going to do anything about it. Let it go.
You know, the thing about Benaiah is he does have those homeless hands and feet. He is a structural landscaper. That man's got tough hands and tough feet. Like Sapphire says, Ben don't play about Nicole. Hey, let me explain something. He may not be a tough guy, but those are the ones in the movies that are usually the ones that never get hit. Am I right or wrong?
I guess. I'm just saying, I don't get that vibe that he's just, that he's an ass kicker. I just don't get that vibe that he's about to flip tables and lose his mind on Sam. We'll see.
We'll see, because they will see each other. So some of the pod squad arrives, right? Like, and then you notice Ali's good friend, Aaron, obviously they had a great friendship. Maybe they had a friendship prior to the pods because they seem really, really close, right? But Ali's reassuring Aaron that he's 110% in it with Demi. Are you believing what he's saying?
I am.
Because Aaron even asked him. He asked him the same way, like, you. It kind of reminds me of a conversation you and I had, right? Would have had. And it would have been in the same manner. Like, so you're saying if anybody else caught your attention? And he's like, nobody else can catch my attention. And Charlotte walks in and he's like, who's that?
I give him a pass.
Yo.
I give him a pass. You take my car. I love Black Beauty. Are there other vehicles that maybe look a little better, catch my attention? Sure. But do I want to trade in Black Beauty for him? No, I don't.
Yo. It's funny, though, because Elston says I don't believe him. That's crazy that y'all wouldn't believe that, man. I mean, he is expressing his love. And he even says it. He's like, yo. Looks wise, Charlotte is berserk. She's sublime. But I chose Demi for a reason.
Right.
And, oh, let's be real. Kevin says it. Charlotte caught everyone's attention. Yes, which tells me she's either very boring or just didn't have a lot of good stuff why they didn't show her more.
There has to be a reason. Because, she, you know, she's perfect for TV. Mm-hmm. But you really didn't hear her talk.
Right. Except she doesn't have morning breath.
Yeah, but that was in the pod.
Yes.
You didn't hear her talk at this event. Just, hi. And they're like, okay, we're off. Turn her mic off.
Like the other women were like, we're going to leave if you let Charlotte talk. She looks good. We can't. And the funny thing about it, because, you know, people have gone stalking already. She's a twin. So it's interesting to me that there's stories that they could have had and they never gave her a chance to tell any of them. Or maybe they did.
Right.
Well, not only did Ali notice her, but so did Freddie. And I'm skipping forward a little bit here. But Freddie did. And Catherine got upset about that.
Yeah. Her insecurities, you know, get mad. And he said, yeah, she's attractive. She's like, I know you've said it. I already heard you the first time. Now she gets all pissy about it. Why'd you ask that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. And we'll get back to Catherine. I just want to point that fact out that she turned a lot of heads as we on Charlotte here, right? But Tom notices Tasha because she walks in with Charlotte as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but Tom felt your least favorite word or term some kind of way. When she's like, well, he says, well, do you recognize everybody from their voices? No, well, you know, I recognize so-and-so. Hey, I'm Tom. She's like, right. Oh, Tom.
Yeah.
he was in his feelings about that.
He was just curious if she had recognized the voice. And I'm sure she did.
Stop it. Yeah.
I'm sure she did.
Smart.
You can't say that you fall in love with somebody and all of a sudden, you know, a few weeks later, you don't even recognize their voice. I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, you can if you're trying to ignore the hell out of them.
Yeah, you know, but even Tom said that she's a little more glamorous than what he thought, which goes back to your point you made yesterday, that he chose Maria because he envisioned a sexual, physical connection. Mm-hmm. He didn't see that with Tosh. But now that he sees her, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something there.
Yeah. It's interesting to see that happen, right? And I think it was also very intentional what he was saying and telling Tosh. Because as he's telling Tasha that he and Maria had their arguments, he was leaving the door open, especially when he's like, so, you know, we're not 100% on what we're going to say on decision day.
Yeah. Now, ladies in the chat, that moment when Tosh was putting on her lipstick in front of him during that conversation, that's a flirt move. To me, that's a flirt move. That says, hey, I'm getting ready for you to kiss me. I'm giving you signs.
Yeah.
You should kiss me. Mm-hmm. Let me know if I'm wrong on that. But I saw that and I said, that's kind of crossing the line there.
Yeah.
And then you could tell Tom seemed a little bit uncomfortable and nervous. He lost his swag during that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah.
Elson says Tom thought Natasha would be a geek in a t-shirt. Yep. Sinan's fan says Tom's usual type is Tasha. Yep. Tom, she likes to tweet, says Tom was thinking, damn, if I picked Tasha, I wouldn't have to navigate the other culture. And the ladies are agreeing with you, right? Saying, yes, the lipstick is a flirt move. Jasmine says, total flirt move. Karen says, I agree, Terrell. Yeah, so it's an chocolate suitor says, of course, she was flirting.
Yeah, and I think Tosh would pay for breakfast and wouldn't complain about it.
There's that part.
There's that.
Now notice. I did highlight this real quick because I want to bring this up because Nikki B says Tom lied on Tosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what she's talking about here is the next day when he's there with Maria, because Maria is like, I'm not even fazed. When Elle tried to say, hey, you okay with this? She's like, I'm not fazed because I know what we have. I'm comfortable in what we have. But she does ask him about it the next morning. And what does Tom say? Well, you know, she was kind of letting her feelings out. She told me that she loved me. Is that what you heard?
No, because I even took notes specifically what she said. She said that I meant it at the time when I said that I was falling in love with you in the pots. Meant it at the time is the key. What Maria asked him is like, wait a minute. She told you last night that she loves you. And he said, yes. Tom's kind of messy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's kind of messy.
Now, here's the thing. Aisha says, can't really say he lied because of editing. No, we heard what she said.
Yeah.
And she watched this more than once.
I meant it at the time.
Yep.
The pods when I said I loved you. Mm-hmm. She was talking about in the pods. She didn't say tonight, hey, Tom, I still love you.
Yeah.
That's what he told Maria. Lies. Mm-hmm.
Elsa said maybe they did edit it out. Sinan's fan said I didn't hear it. And Chocolate Suda points out Maria said she didn't care, but snatched him away to talk over there while he was talking to Tosh. Yeah, because he was flirting to the eight. Let me remind you something here, real quick. Bring your ass over here.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
Chocolate
we gotta
Suda.
Get snatched. Sometimes we gotta get snatched up.
Wouldn't you do the same, Chocolate Suda?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Toya C says Tosh was letting him know she meant it and still means it. Maybe so, but what he said she said is not what she said, and if so, he didn't say the other parts of it and how he kept trying to flirt with her. He left all that out. Or is that because of editing too and they just took that out?
Could be, but Tom was a little flirty and I think he was feeling a little flustered because he liked what he saw out of Tosh.
He did. He really did. Now, somebody, this couple liked what they saw, but it was a couple different people, right? We already talked about the fact that Freddie liked Charlotte. He's like, Charlotte's attractive, which every woman in there knew. Every woman in there felt challenged by Charlotte, right? Mm-hmm. And especially this one who's accustomed to being number one. And by this one, I mean Catherine, for those listening and not actually seeing her on the screen, right? So it's... She's upset, as you mentioned before, that Freddie says. But Freddie's like, hold up, you've already said five times as Sam walks in, he looks like your ex-boyfriend. Like she said, and she didn't just say it. Did you look at her face when she said it?
Yeah. Yeah. She looked a little excited, like, oh my God, he looks like my ex-boyfriend.
I mean, like, the image of him.
Yeah.
Oh Like, jeez, look, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm Freddie, I'll leave her that night based on the fact that she kept gushing over him. Then, you know, you're really pissing me off. And then she goes over and starts, she says to Freddie, you're pissing me off, because he said twice and she said 52 times. But then she goes over and starts flirting with Sam. Did you see this as flirting?
100% saw it as flirting, because at first they're talking because they did have some type of connection in the pods, and she realized, okay, maybe not. So she's talking to Sam, and Sam is just being Sam. Then she says, you know, kind of what's in the box, and he breaks out with the bracelet, the ring, and she's like, oh, I like it. And he was like, yeah, you know, this is, well, your ring is better. She goes, yeah, but this is the ring I wanted. Then the touching, right? So he's making her laugh and she's touching on him. I've always been taught that's a flirt move, is if a woman is like touching on you and laughing, she likes you. Mm-hmm. Then she even says, if you're ever in London, here's my number. All those are red flags that Freddie should be paying a really close attention to.
Okay, I'm glad somebody else said this too. Elsa says, Sam had his hands folded and pulled away at first. Sam was trying to be... As much as you say, and a lot, there's not a lot of love for Sam, but Sam did everything in that moment. He pulled away. He was like, well, I'm the single one here, right? Yeah. And he kept trying to make, he kept trying to steer away from that. Look, I don't want, because he can see Freddie over her shoulder.
Right.
And she knows Freddie's over her shoulder. So it's not like she doesn't know. She is purposely doing this, and it's terrible in that part, right? Like the Christie says, Kat does not like that man. That's why she's irritated by his every move. She needs to be honest about it and leave him alone.
Oh, I think so, too. But I think Freddie just needs to look up, wake up, and leave on his own.
Yes.
Don't wait for Catherine to do it.
It was terrible. That was so bad. But, then, you know, next thing we get to see is Sam going to see Nicole pulling aside. He's talking to Ollie first, and Ollie kind of fills him in on what's been happening in Greece and the conversations that have been happening. And then he's like, all right, well, let me go deal with this. And at least he was armed with this knowledge. So he goes and grabs Nicole. They go off for a little chat, and very intentional what he was saying here. Did you notice that?
Oh, very strategic in the way that he worded things.
Yes.
He kept saying they had a real connection. Mm-hmm. And then tries to flip it and ask, was it a mistake, or did she genuinely love him, or was Ben the main one for her the whole time?
Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, Sam, what kind of game are you playing with this? And she said that in the pod, she did love him, but when they met, it just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Then Sam says, I remember because you wanted to be physical with me, and I said no, right? was just crazy.
No, see, here's the interesting thing, because when you hear that being physical, the first thing we're thinking is, okay, so he's saying she wanted to have sex and he didn't, right? Is that the first thing you thought?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I think physical, yes. I mean, but that's what we think. Mm-hmm. Now, even if she tried to kiss him and he didn't want to, why do you got to bring that up?
Yeah.
Because it's apparent then if you didn't want to, then she was right. There was something that wasn't right about y'all. But don't make it seem like there was something wrong with her. And that's why you were the one, you're the better person because you pulled away. You even said that he was proud of himself for that he didn't have any intimacy with her because he wanted to be a true gentleman.
True gentleman who's now trying to throw that business out there and throw accusations and insinuations out there, right? Because like Elsa said, Sam watched the camera many times. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
He was looking at the camera, making sure the camera, y'all still on me? I'm just making sure. All right, cool. Toya says Sam was diabolical. And Pink Butterfly asked the question, who's telling the truth? Well, here's the thing. Nicole never denied anything that was said. But again, Sam was very strategic and intentional about what he said. Because Nicole did say that I'm a physical person. She wanted to see if this if it was what it was, right? If this was it. But she never said what that was. And it was physical something that he's making more of. Did she want to cuddle? Did she want to hug? Did she want to hold hands? Did she want to kiss? And he didn't want to do any of that?
Yeah. M. Smith, 100% right. M. Smith says, you'd have thought Sam was wearing a wire. Yes. He says, I don't want to sleep with you, right? Couldn't speak into the mic.
Yeah. And Tamara says, that was nasty of him. He would have said kiss. You know, would he? Because Sam is very strategic in what he does. He always has been. And what he said and what he does.
Yeah.
Very strategic in playing the game. Now, Amazon Beauty says, I thought Nicole meant affection, intimacy, but not sex. But this is Sam we're talking about. Remember, he didn't like her or her boring brown eyes. Women have not let that go yet. Them boring shit brown eyes. That's what they heard. He didn't say it, but that's what they heard.
But he did say it. He did say it.
Oh, my God. But Nicole gives the ring and the bracelet back, although Sam says she can keep it. Now, keep in mind, Sam did say, especially when he was talking with Catherine, oh, it was a sentimental bracelet. He said that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. What if it's so sentimental? Why do you want the woman that doesn't want you and that you don't want to keep it?
Because he has five more at home.
That's what I thought, too. I was thinking 10.
Five more sentimental bracelets that he just gives out. He's like Derek Jeter, just gives out little gift bags when it doesn't work out. Here you go.
Hey, Nikki B is funny. Oh, my God. You were hilarious.
I saw that.
I'm just going to leave this up here. So everybody in the live crew and the replay gang can see it. If you're listening on a podcast, then, you know, you got to come to YouTube and check it out. See what she said.
Nikki Bray always with the bangers.
31-minute mark. You know where to find it.
We've missed you, Nikki B. By the way, we've missed you.
Oh, Nikki B has some stuff to say when we get down, especially to the our predictions at the end of this episode today. This recap, Sam and Benaiah, because Benaiah did decide to go have that conversation with Sam. What did you think about this?
It was lame. I think the producers encouraged it. Mm-hmm. So Ben goes out there, because earlier when Sam first shows up, he goes up to dap Ben, and Ben's trying to be nice. HBJ, and then he was like, ahead. Hey, we'll talk. And Benaiah's like, maybe. And he's like, you don't know, we'll talk. We'll talk, right? So they finally had this moment outside, and Ben confronts Sam and says he thinks his intentions were not genuine. Sam says he doesn't understand why Ben sounds so bitter and that he's trying to nitpick with him, which I kind of agree with Sam. It's like, why are you sweating me? You got the girl. What are you worried about me for? And then I think Ben is wasting his time with this whole conversation. And then Sam said we had an amazing connection in the pods and that Nicole even admitted that tonight, which was a way for Sam to piss Ben off.
Of course.
Get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then here's the killer. Sam tells him, you are aware that when she stayed at my place, she wanted to sleep with me and I said no. Did she tell you that?
Yeah.
That got into Ben's head.
But that is the strategic move of Sam. And again, Sam showed this. And the minute Benaiah went out there to talk to him, HBJ should have sat in the corner and prayed a little bit longer and decided not to go out there, because going out there did not do him any justice at all.
It didn't. But it's man rules, right? Because you notice Sam knows he probably can't take Freddie. Mm-hmm. So he stayed away from Kat.
Yeah.
Sam is not physically intimidated by Ben. So he's going to say whatever he wants at all. Mm-hmm. To Ben, because Sam probably feels like I can take Ben. Which is what any guy would do. You size someone up, be like, I'm not scared of this dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to say whatever I want. Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Little Eva says, Sam and Benaiah. Sam looked at the camera about 3 times during their conversation. He's like, make sure y'all still on this, because if he swings, I'm going to take him out, and I'm going to make sure you catch all of it.
Yeah. Bring all this. Security.
The next day, Sabrina and Steven, they're headed to Belfast, and all I could think about is Sons of Anarchy.
I never watched it.
You got to, man. That is a great one to go watch. 7 seasons. Go binge watch it. But, you know, we see them on the tarmac getting ready to get on the plane. We see them on the beach looking out over the water. And I'm thinking, that's damn cold. Mm-hmm. It looks beautiful, but, man, it's got to be cold. And then we see that he's meeting her mom, Pauline, and her sister, Shamisha, and her friend. I forgot the friend's name. But apparently she didn't tell them the full intent of the process either.
I don't buy that. I think she told her mom. She might not have told her friend or her sister, because her mom kept saying, yeah, I knew all about the experiment. So the mom knew.
Hey, I love her mom was like, I don't recall you asking for my permission. So I'm engaged. I don't recall being asked for permission.
Yeah. They have that conversation. I thought it was, I liked how Paulina, you know, said, hey, before we get to Greece, I need to know more about you, Stephen.
Yeah. Yo, she shut that down to me. They're like, hold up.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me all about yourself before we get to Greece. you tell me all about you. Uh-huh. And I thought they had a really good conversation. You know, mom said she wouldn't expect anything less than someone that is all in on Sabrina. And Steven reassured her that their connection is very real and he's so serious about her, which is great. Even her friend, what's her friend's name? Claire. Or no, her sister, Shamisha. She's like, this feels like right. This just feels natural between both of you.
It does. And you notice that that's the kind of feel that you're getting a lot. And the feel that's coming in the chat is Shamisha's a hell of a name for a white woman.
I had to like rewind and look at that twice. I'm like, did I see Shamisha?
Oh, y'all thought America came up with those names, huh?
Yeah.
Northern Ireland had that first.
They've been wild in Ireland on names a long time ago, but I thought I've never seen a white Shamisha before. I thought,
They could be, who in the hell is this white Shamisha? Hey, y'all got to get outside the U.S. sometimes and realize that there's some other names out there, too, now. what'd you think of the conversation the mom had with Steven, that Pauline had with Steven?
I thought it was good. You know, she told him that she can see the connection between them. And from what she sees in this moment, she could see him being a part of her family and gave her blessing. Yeah. So I thought it was great. I mean, that's a lot of pressure, I think, for any parent to have to deal with, to know your kid's going to this experiment. They're going to come back engaged and you got to like run with this. So I thought it was good.
Before we get off this, Shamisha's probably a Celtic name, and then Shamisha, first of her name.
Yeah, that's, it's like the Game of Thrones House of Dragons version of Shamisha.
Hey, y'all messing around. Look, this is. Hey, Toya says, listen, hey, hold up. Our names aren't ghetto. Those older European names are very similar. So, yeah. We never said that part. We never said the ghetto part. I just want to point that out. I understand. First of a name. That's hilarious. Moving on.
Yeah.
Debbie and Ollie. they're going bowling with Debbie's family. And I thought this was actually... a fun time, right? Everybody sitting around waiting to hear what her dad has to think. He's just sizing up Ollie like.
Yeah.
Trying to find something.
I thought it was a fun time. I think it's obvious that Demi's family sucks at bowling and maybe they should do something else. Or leave the gutter lanes up. So that way they don't have to worry about that. They were terrible.
That's when you knew they were bad at bowling.
Yeah, because they were like, we're going to go real. Yeah, Ollie was good. But I thought Ollie made a great first impression. And I really liked the fact that he pulled Demi's dad aside to talk because he recognized how important her dad is in Demi's life and vice versa. And he wanted to reassure him that she'll be safe and taken care of. I like that. I mean, I think Ollie won a lot of points with that family by the way he handled it. And he knew that this meeting was really important to her. And it was nice seeing the dad get all emotional. That's that.
Yes.
He probably needed his girl dad t-shirt on because he was just really emotional about his baby girl finding somebody that he couldn't find a problem with. He couldn't find anything wrong with Ollie.
Because he tried.
That was really great. Yeah, he did. I thought it was great.
I thought it was good. The way Ollie was interacting with the family during the bowl. He bowled that strike. He turned around. Tyler, what was that you said? What'd you say?
Yeah.
And that's that comfort level you need because now he just feels like part of the family, right?
Right.
And Sam says, I don't trust Ollie for some reason, but I want them to work because I like them together. Dang.
I like them together, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody had a question. What happened to Ollie's family? Where were they? Why didn't they show up? Interesting question.
Maybe they had to be to work. They had to be to work. They couldn't make it. Stop being judging.
You were judging with that statement. But anyway, we're going to keep moving. Catherine and Freddie. Catherine asks what happens when they leave. And Freddie says it'd be easier if she moves in with him. Yeah. We knew that when she stepped foot in his house, right?
Well, yeah, but the first thing he said was, well, you need to find work. So I don't think you can tell people you're a dental nurse when you're not dental nursing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I can't say I'm a recruiter if I'm not recruiting.
Right.
You know, I could say in my past I've been a recruiter, but currently I'm not doing anything. So she has no job.
Yeah.
So first she needs to find a job.
That is, you know, it's funny because I heard that and I went straight by it. But for you, the recruiter in you was like, hold up.
Yeah.
We need to find her a job.
You're not working right now. I know, but I mean, you need me. If I had the UK, I could help find a job in the UK. That's not my market. But
yeah.
She wanted to move to Austin, Texas. I could help her. But yeah, you got to find yourself a job first. So I'm glad he called that out, but he figured that she'd move in with him, which makes sense.
Happy Gardner says, Kat is unemployed, lives with her parents. Of course you'd move in with him. Or she should, at least, right? it feels to me like Kat keeps using being adopted as a reason to excuse her behavior, right? Because that's what she keeps saying. Well, because I was adopted, I had to do this, I had to do this, I had to do this. And that's something that I couldn't deal with. I know that's something you couldn't deal with, right? Because,
no.
Stop making excuses for your bad behavior. Based on what it is, because there are enough things that happen in your life that you can go, well, that's why I'm an a-hole. But we know that's just my choice.
I see what you're trying to do there. And I don't think you're going to sway anybody's opinion in the live chat to have them agree with you that I'm this asshole. I'm a really great person. I'm a good person.
Even what happened last time we heard that.
Yeah, I'm a good person. But you're 100% right. I don't like how she blames everything on her being adopted, because if that's the case, get you some therapy and process all that to where you're not putting that on him. But it's not fair to say, hey, this is why I'm like this, so you should have to deal with it. It reminds me of that BS Marilyn Monroe quote. You know, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Crap. It's just crap. So I don't like that she keeps throwing that in his face. That's why she's a little spicy, as she put it. But I do like how Freddie was holding her accountable and say, hey, well, look, you just can't say you're going to change. And then 2 weeks later, you revert back to who you were. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what do you mean? I wouldn't do that. He's like, no, people do that. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, I don't think people do that. I'm like, yeah, that people do that.
Yeah.
Then she says, well, I don't need to change anything, but I'm willing to for someone that I don't want to lose. I'm like, I thought you said you didn't have to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you know you're wrong.
Yeah, she knows she's wrong. And by the way, Elson said, Terrell, we see glimmers of you being a good person.
You're only watching me on the podcast. You don't talk to me regularly.
I like what Freddie did next, though. Freddie didn't drop the bombshell on Catherine and was like, well, you know, how about you sign this prenup before we say I do? I'm going to need you to do that because I need to take care of my family first. Did you agree with his prenup, him wanting to have her do the prenup? Or was this, because I'm not mad at him with the prenup. There's something about it that's off, though.
I 100% agree with the prenup because she doesn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Mm-hmm.
So he's right. It's how he worded it. Because he said, what if everything I have goes to my sister when I die? I was like, wait a minute. That's not quite how prenups work that I'm aware of. And I get it. He's more worried about his brother.
Yes.
But the way he said that, what if when I die, everything goes to my sister?
Mm-hmm.
What woman would sign up for that?
Right.
So I just thought the way he worded it was really bad.
If he said if you cheat or you leave, then you get nothing. That I could see. But yeah, you're right.
I'd probably throw in, and if you keep nagging me on bullshit, you get nothing.
Or if you ugly cry, because Amazon Beauty said, I've noticed Catherine hasn't ugly cried since their reveal.
You ugly cry again, you get nothing. Nothing.
Well, next up, before we, as wrapping up this episode, was Nicole and Benaiah. At least we'll wrap it up with them because we start the next one with them. Benaiah wants to talk about what Sam had to say. And Nicole dodging that question like a professional liar.
Matrix. she dodged that bullet.
She said, "And she knows what happened. She could easily tell her side, but she chooses not to."
Right. Let's just move on.
What's that mean?
Why are we keep talking about this? Let's just move on.
Now? Didn't HBJ, Homeless Benaiah Jesus, tell you earlier, leave it alone at the start of this episode?
Yeah, he did. But now she's like, hey, I've done my part. I'm good now. Let's just move on. You should let it go. I'm good. Let it go.
That irked the crap out of me because no. Because you opened the door when you wanted to go close things off with him when you should have done that before you even came back to me in the first place. You brought me into this mess. That should have meant that door was closed.
Yeah, but she took control. She's like, look here, number two. I'm done talking about Sam. And I need you to be over it too. Are we good?
Nikki B said that's true pimpery from Nicole.
Yeah, stay in your lane, number two.
She likes to tweet, says, listen, Nicole had a horny moment with Sam. He rejected her because he doesn't like black women, so she wants to leave it alone.
We don't know if that's the case.
We don't know that.
We don't know.
Women are standing up for Nicole in this. Toya, I don't think Nicole is a liar. She just doesn't want to speak ill of people. Really? He's dragging her through the dirt. Mm-hmm. Defend yourself, woman. Put up a fight. Please, block, weave, something.
Or at least tell the camera crew, can y'all sit out for a second and be like, all right, Ben, here's the real deal. Here's what happened. Mm-hmm. Just tell him, because Ben has questions that he's probably need answers to.
Aisha, this is exactly how I'm feeling right now. She says, I don't trust Nicole at all. She is very sly. Yes, indeed.
I don't think she's sly, because if she was, she'd have got Sam to get in it. Forget it.
Yo, maybe since Nicole tried to lay it low and spread it wide with Sam, didn't know he was going to bring it up. Sam is slick now. Oh boy. Okay. I mean, I know. Look, Nicole saying I think she's sweet. Of course, y'all share the same name. I'd probably say the same thing if there was a Yanni on the show. Titanium Tectonic says she avoids conflict. We'll see. Well, all right. End of episode 8, on to episode 9. We're right back here, Nicole and Benaiah. preparing to meet Benaiah's mom, Gabby, and his sister, Eliza. And here's what I do like. And here's why I'm so irritated with Nicole. Because what does Benaiah do? He gives her heads up as to everything that happened since he left the pods and prepares her for what his mother and his sister are about to ask.
100%. He said, look, after the pods, I was really hurt. I was upset. My mom, my sister saw it and went to Germany for a while. They may bring that up. Be prepared. Mm-hmm. And I love how when they arrive, you know, they get there, they get to the table, and then they just go straight into it. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, he was really hurt. And you could tell the mom was hurt seeing her son hurt.
Yes.
I think any parent would be devastated to see your son heartbroken because you can't control it. There's nothing you could do about that. You can't put a Band-Aid and kiss that boo-boo. Someone broke their heart.
And said, I've never seen him like this before.
Right, right. And so I appreciate how Nicole says, okay, well, I think I need to own up and apologize and talk about some of that. It jumped into it. So I give Nicole credit for that. She still, in my opinion, I'm sure there's editing, she didn't say enough to convince me why she dropped Sam and went to bed. I didn't really hear a lot about that.
I like that she took ownership. I just think Ben wasn't prepared. Sam would have been prepared because when she said, no, feel free, ask me anything, they'd have been like, well, great. So about this Sam thing saying that y'all, you wanted to be physical, can you explain that to us? Because Sam would have had them prepared for that. Mm-hmm. Ben didn't have them prepared. HBJ, you're slipping.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. But You just felt the tension in the air when they first got there.
Yeah.
And I think once they got over that conversation, I thought it was good. Eliza is great. She should be a recruiter. She's asking some really great questions. Mm-hmm. And has there been any arguments? And Ben says, well, yeah, you know, brings up the Sam issue. And Eliza asks Nicole if she had in the back of her head that based on what Ben told her that Sam wasn't genuine. Mm-hmm. Because that's, I think, Ben's issue is like, I've been telling you this dude's a turd. Mm-hmm. But yet you keep thinking that he might be something different.
And she still stayed that way.
Right, right.
That's frustrating. They're literally all telling you again. And she's just like, yeah, but I know what I saw.
Yeah.
Or heard. And didn't get.
Yeah, I do. But his sister's dope because she says that she's ready to move on and wants to move on from Sam.
Yeah.
And I like how his sister looks at Ben and says, maybe it's time for you to move on from Sam too.
Yeah. Now, that's great advice because because obviously Nicole's not going to give him any more information. So you might as well move on from it. Right.
Right.
Did you notice that his sister also made it a point to tell Nicole when they're just sitting there like, OK, look, Sam, I mean, Ben is a nomad. He's not going to sit still. Many women have tried. It hasn't happened. You want to make this work? Mm-hmm.
I did think that was great because Nicole worries that will Sam feel trapped being married? And I think this is a great conversation.
This is why we call him homeless Jesus. This is exactly why we call him homeless Jesus.
Sorry. Nicole worries that Benaiah will feel trapped being married. And I do wonder what their expectations of what a marriage is like. Is Nicole expecting him to be home every day, every evening? They do stuff together on weekends, or is she open to the fact that he might have a project where he goes away for a month and only comes home every other weekend? Yeah. Is she okay with that?
Now, CXM says Nicole might be nomad with him. Not with her corporate job, unless she can work remotely or take leave. Well, you know, go on holiday. But who wants to go on holiday while somebody sitting in somebody else's house while he fixes it? That's not holiday.
While he's house sitting, you're sitting in someone else's house and you got your own house. No, I'm not going to go do that.
This is the one that really, I think, got everybody wild and crazy, right? Which is, man, I hate when this happens. I got my iPad too close to my computer, to my MacBook, so my mouse has disappeared. Ah, there we go. You never seen that happen, have you?
No, I haven't.
it'll switch and go down to the next thing. Jasmine and Bobby, right? And you knew this was going to be bad when Marissa first arrived. Marissa, Jasmine's mom. We got a glimpse into her a little bit because, as you pointed out, which I didn't even think about it when it happened the first time, till you watched ahead, she gave us a heads up when she told us a little bit about her mom before.
Yeah. This was wild because when she was trying to prep Bobby for that, she was trying to give him tips to try to win over her mom. And he said, her mom sounds just mean. And Jasmine, here's my thing. Her mom sounds mean, but Jasmine doesn't sound like she's an adult when it comes to her mom. She also says her mom says things that are hurtful at times, but that's just how he is. Have you ever dated out of your race and someone says, hey, let me tell you about grandma. She's from the 1930s. She might say the N-word. She doesn't mean it. And no, that's just how she is. We got to love her. No, you don't.
Now, that sounds like a question we have to ask, but I'm going to leave it alone so we can stay here because you're right. I don't think saying that is excusing it. I'm not saying, listen, you can't talk to people that way. These are not the high school boys that she was dating before. This is a grown-ass man, and you can't talk to a grown-ass man like you ain't got no damn sense. I'm sorry.
Right.
Because, Bobby, you need to grow some balls and walk out that damn house or kick her out the house at some point because that there's no way I sit down through that, not the way he did.
I wouldn't be able to handle it either. And I totally looked at Jasmine with some side eye because I'm thinking to myself, you come across like you're this boss of a person. But yet you're a child compared to your mom, that you let all this happen your whole life. And your mom runs you. You're not an adult, in my opinion.
That's how you live your life. Okay. Here's the thing. And you know, I have no love lost for Jasmine after what she did to Ollie. But let's go through this, right? This whole encounter. And because I think Jasmine did try to stand up at some point. They get there. Marissa is rude to Bobby initially. But it's also the reason why I don't try to hug people initially. The first thing I do to people, man or woman, first, you tell me you want to hug. He tried to hug that woman. She skipped right by him, went to her daughter. Understandable. He tried to hug her again. She side hugged him. But again, you don't go in for a hug unless you know that's what they do. She already told you, mom's difficult. Mm. But there's a lot that happened past that, though. When they sit down at the table and what?
That part's bullshit. And here's why I say that part's bullshit. I get what you're saying. What I didn't like what she did is when her mom was at the door, you hug her, then you say, hey, mom, this is Bobby.
Yes, okay.
Look, this person holding the door open for 5 minutes, this is my fiance, Bobby. Acknowledge him.
Okay, I missed that part. And you're absolutely right. It's on her because she didn't introduce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
She's messy.
That is true because she didn't even try to introduce. That's on her. That is on her too. I didn't even notice that. That's a good call.
Bobby's standing at the door. Hey, you want to come in? Yeah. Hey, so do you want to come in?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, then I'm right over here. Do you want to come in?
Pink Butterfly agrees. Yes, Terrell. Introduce.
Yes.
Because the one thing, and you know this, And I've always said this, hey, if we're around somebody and I don't introduce you, just go, hey, he's so rude, I'm so-and-so. Why? Because any other time I'll introduce you. If I don't, I don't remember who the hell this is. This is different.
I would never bring somebody around my mom and not make a formal introduction to the two. I just would walk in, hey, mom, how you doing? And just keep walking and expect her to introduce herself. I would never do that. They'd be like, hey, mom, yeah. This is so-and-so. Mm-hmm. So-and-so, this is my mom. And I'd make them shake hands or something. We're not going to make this weird because we're adults.
And she should have told him, just shake her hand. Don't try to go for a hug. Because she knows this about her, right? But here's the interesting thing. Because she's hungry, but she doesn't know if she can eat. And you knew this is going to be bad. It's so awkward. They sit down at the table. And then she asks Bobby, how many relationships? And he's like, well, you're talking serious relationships. Of course you're talking serious relationships, right? I don't fault him for saying that. But she tries to make a bigger deal out of it than needs to be.
She is projecting all her relationship experiences that apparently didn't go well. She's projecting that onto Bobby and to Jasmine. How many relationships you've had? What difference does that make? Oh, right. A lot of what if he said a lot? I've had 10 girlfriends. Oh, you like a lot of women. What if he said he's a virgin? Oh, you can't commit. Like, there's not one thing that he could have said that would have made it good. And the thing is, I get the relationship question. What pissed me off about her is, tell me about your education. And then the fact that he didn't finish school. She's like, well, you know, you can have better conversation with somebody who's educated. Then that is the rudest thing you could say to somebody. And at that point, Jasmine should have stepped up and said, hey, mom, no, we're not doing that. That's inappropriate and that's very rude.
Here's the thing. She tried to defend and say, well, a lot of people don't have degrees now, right? But her mom is stuck in the old school way of you got to get somebody who has this. But when she said that, that's the moment that civility would have stopped immediately. Because, it's difficult to communicate with an uneducated person. Mm. You don't say, because we sure had a lot of miscommunication coming through the door.
So here's what's funny is I'm watching that and I'm like, that could not have been Yanni or me.
No.
I would have made it. But if that happened, I'd have looked straight at, if I was Bobby, as she said that, I looked straight at Jasmine and be like, are you going to handle this or no? Because I'm about to go there. Are you going to handle this?
Yeah. Do you want to handle this? Or do you want me to go on Ollie on your mama? Because this ain't about
because
anybody.
Because I'm about to go off. Do you want to step in? And you can't say, well, not everybody goes to college. We're not talking about everybody. We're talking about Bobby, your fiance. You should have stuck up for him a lot better than that.
Mm-hmm. Here's the interesting thing. Because then she goes on to this whole thing about asking, what's your future plan? And then immediately interrupting his answer, right? Telling him, well, what he can and can't do before he even gets a chance to answer. And that would have ended this conversation again for me because I probably would have been like, you know what? You are right. It is difficult to communicate with an uneducated person, especially someone uneducated in successful relationships.
Yeah. I'd be like, wait a minute. You're in the Philippines, right? I don't think y'all have a chapter of Mensa in the Philippines, do you? I haven't heard about it. I don't want to assume, but let's not act like you are holier than thou than everybody, because not like the Philippine economy is the shit. So it was really rude the way she handled that. Bobby was a much better person than I am. I could not have put up with any of that. And then even when she brought up about, London's expensive. You don't know what this man has in his pockets.
That man could make more money than Jasmine. She has no idea.
Exactly. She has no idea, but you're making a huge assumption and making it seem like he doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, I couldn't. That would make me say, hey, Jasmine, this is not going to work out. If I got to deal with her, no.
Oh, and you know you got to deal with her because what did she say? Okay, and he said something about moving out of the country. And what about family? Because, you know, I got to go too. No. You go find you an educated old ass man and let him take you where the hell he needs to, because what's not going to happen is this.
Yeah.
This is the first and the last time.
See, this is why I couldn't do it. Because I'd have been like, you know, you bring up a good point. So were your two ex-husbands educated? Oh, but that still didn't work out. So what's the degree? What's the problem? Were they more educated than you? Is that why it didn't work out? Oh, it had nothing to do with their college education? Tell me more.
Yo, that irked me. Watching this, especially the second time. It irked me the first time. Watching it the second time irked the crap out of me. And the interesting thing. where she's like, well, we're best friends. Jasmine's my best friend. And Jasmine tries to say, well, look, I'm not going to tell you about every argument at this point. Yeah, I'm, because when she said Jasmine tells me everything, Jasmine was like, let me eat something real quick before I, she asked me if I do. Because she's like, of course I haven't told her everything. But she's like, from this point on, of course not, because if I'm not going to tell you every argument, we have to turn you against him. And she's like, no, you have to tell me everything. For what?
Right.
How delusional is this woman?
Yeah, and then don't lie to me. Like, Bobby doesn't know you anything. He needs to be honest with Jasmine. He doesn't have to be honest with you.
That's when I would have said to her, you are beautiful. Did you know that was a lie? Because you said you know everything.
We don't have to pick on her looks. Let's just pick on her logic. It's terrible.
I'm just saying, that's her logic. The mean person in me would have, that would have come right out.
Oh, I know.
Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Yeah. And what she's showing is not a beautiful personality, not a beautiful person. I'm not talking about looks. She is not a beautiful person, period.
Yeah, you and I are not Michelle Obama. When they go low, we grab a shovel and we go low.
It's time to dig.
It's time to dig.
Hey, for anybody in the Caribbean who understands, we start building the foundation, because it's not like in America where they just level the ground and start building. You go down. Yeah. And you start digging, and then you build a foundation, and you come up.
Oh, so, yeah, because you come at me, okay, I'm going to go low, real low. I'll talk about whatever. But, yeah, her mom, that was just – but, again, I really feel like this was Jasmine's error, because if you flip it around, if Bobby's mom was saying this negative stuff in front of Jasmine, I'm sure Jasmine would look at him like, hey, are you going to stick up for me?
Exactly.
Or are you a mama's boy and just going to let her talk to me crazy? And I feel like that's where Jasmine failed in this situation. If you're going to try to do it, if you're going to try to get in the middle of Ollie and Demi, get in front of your mom and solve that first. Stay on everyone else's relationship. Fix the relationship with you and your mom. And you've said that she's not had any good examples of good relationships from her mom. Why would you take her advice then?
Notice her mom also was very shady towards Bobby when Bobby made, you know, he's trying to relate and goes, yeah, well, you know, I've seen where, you know, not being genuine has not worked out for my mom and her relationships with other men who weren't genuine. And the way Marissa shaded him in that moment and shaded his mom, I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Woman, mirror, look in it.
Yeah, as if to say, yeah, your mom is one of the women I'm talking about.
Like, yes, just exactly.
No shade at his mom. I'm just saying, there's no way I could tolerate and put up with that.
Couldn't have been me.
And I think the difference is, let's think of it differently. Because it's easy for you and I at 50 and 49 to say we couldn't deal with that. In our early 30s, late 20s, back then, could you deal with that?
Let me explain something to you real quick. There are people I don't speak to. A whole side of a family I do not speak to because of the way they try to insinuate about my family. I don't play that game. I don't play that. You know me. I don't play that game. There's nothing they can say. That drowning, sorry, can't help you. Yeah. I'll throw out the rope, but I'm not holding the other end of it.
See, this is the part where you and I get along so well, because we both have no problem cutting some people. There's no way I could tolerate that. And there's people in my life, in my past, I wouldn't pee on if they were on fire.
Yep.
You know, that's just how I feel about it. In this situation, I felt for Bobby and I was angry for him, because I thought this woman is so rude and disrespectful.
So disrespectful.
For no reason. And Jasmine didn't help at all. And I feel like if he marries her, he's going to have to deal with Jasmine. Let's take her mom aside all the time. If he marries her, that's what's going to happen.
Now, Elson says Bobby deals with cruise ship customers so he can deal. Kevin says, hey, Yachty and Terrell are older. Mama just made the sex more intense that night. Bobby's straight now. I'm sorry. Because here's the difference. Even when she got to the end of, oh, don't lie to me, all this, and gave him the warning, it wouldn't have mattered. I would have never heard any of that. Because I would have tuned, you get loud, disrespectful, I'm either going to go, atomic on it, or I'm just going to tune you out completely and be dead. You don't hear anything, you don't see anything, nothing exists.
Well, no, I would tell you to your face every time. You know, hey, Terrell, how come we don't talk often? Well, remember when we first met? And then every time we meet, you say these things? This is why we don't talk often. Why would I want to be your friend? Go talk to Jasmine. She's back in the room. I'm making eggs. Do you want some or not? Exactly. All right, get out of the kitchen. Like, we're not going to be cool. Ever. Ever.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. You know the stories.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, so Maria and Tom, next family. Let's move off of that family because
it got us hot, didn't it? I was yeah, so annoyed watching this. I was so annoyed.
Almost gave out some family secrets. Jesus. So Tom's sisters arrive, and this is an interesting one, too, because I think this is another interesting conversation that happens because Maria brings up when asking about things that are happening, and Tom brings up, oh, they've had a couple differences. Maria says in their culture, the man's expected to take care of the house, the wife and the kids. And that, and to me, I'm saying, thinking like, okay, well, probably how they get multiple wives, you take care of everything, right?
Okay. So you want. First of all, that pasta bake that Tom made looks like it needs some seasoning. I just had to call it that.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, I know. I've been to the UK and a lot of food was bland, in my opinion. So Tom's sister, I think her name is Aine. I don't know how to pronounce it. A-I-N-E, however you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's asking some really good questions and asked Maria that, how do you see the living situation? Mm-hmm. And Maria said, at first, they talked about moving into Tom's place, but she's not comfortable with paying someone else's mortgage. Mm-hmm. Then she said, if we are together for 4, 5, or 6 years, and she's paid a huge chunk of his mortgage, and then she's out on her own after that, that's not a good look. I didn't like that at all.
Why? Here's the thing that interested me about this, right? Because you and I talked about this before, and I think you and I hear two completely different things here. Tell us, live crew. Tell us, replay gang. What do you think is being said here? Is she wrong for saying this? Because even the sister agreed. Even the sister said, yeah, I get that part of not paying somebody else's mortgage. She says, now, keep in mind, she also said in her culture, the man's expected to be able to take care of the house, right? But then what she says after that is, we talked about moving in. I don't want to pay the mortgage, his mortgage, for 4 to 6 years, mm-hmm. and then all I've done is pay off a chunk of his mortgage. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't she saying in this space, if I'm going to pay this mortgage, my name needs to be on the deed, or we need to have our own mortgage? And it's not, I'm not, because you're not, if somebody moves into your house, are they going to pay your mortgage?
No, because here's the thing. This is why I know her thing is BS. And in the comments said, Yanni and I have been arguing about this. So,
and you're going to get your feelings hurt because I am right.
No, go ahead. Not getting feelings hurt. If someone moved into my house, I'm paying the mortgage because I've been paying it. I don't need your money to pay it. I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. So what she is saying is she doesn't want to pay for breakfast. She doesn't want to pay for lunch. She doesn't
in the early courting phases.
She doesn't want to pay part of his mortgage. Now, he didn't ask her to pay part of his mortgage that I know of. But if you move into the house, there's certain things you got to pay. Mm-hmm. She's saying that, no, I don't want to pay part of his mortgage because we're together 4 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Now, let's go with your argument. Mm-hmm. Let's say Tom says, you know what? Let's get married. I'm going to sell my place and me and you get our own place together. And that way we can both be on the lease or on the deed and pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. If they still divorce in 4 to 6 years, mm-hmm. one of them is going to walk away with equity. Everyone else might not. So not about her being
the equity,
on the
deed.
They
get split regardless.
But it's not about her being on the deed. It's just she doesn't want to pay for any of that because
that's not what she said. That is not what she said. That is not what she said. You heard what you wanted to hear because you heard that what you also heard was that she said in the initial stages the man pays for stuff, which is that's not out of the norm here in the States. And with the mortgage, she said she didn't want to pay the mortgage that he gets. She gets nothing out of it. Now,
but
there are people in the chat that are saying,
why would he ask her to pay the mortgage that he's been paying this whole time? That makes no sense.
Part of what people are saying in the chat is, well, if you're paying rent, then why wouldn't you pay on that too? The difference is that you're paying in somebody else's, and but that's a difference.
Why would Tom ask her to do that? I can afford my mortgage with or without anybody. Mm-hmm. If someone moved into my house tomorrow, I'm not going to be like, hey, so I'm going to need $1,200. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. I got the mortgage. You buy groceries. You buy some other stuff. You make sure my car's washed. You know, when I say make sure my car's not like your physical game. But the extras of like buying, you know, get my car washed, buying some clothes, you can own that. I got the mortgage. I got all the bills that come with my house. I don't need your help with that. Why would Tom ask her to move in and then expect her to pay half his mortgage? That makes no sense. What man would ask that? Would you ask a woman to move in with you?
Okay, so here's my question. Here's my question. Because you're going on this like he never asked her that. She said they talked about it, her moving into his house.
Right.
Obviously, as he's has been said in the chat, he is big on 50-50. So if that's the case, they've had a discussion that they would have to pay half. If obviously that, if you're going to assume all the other stuff, you better assume that part too. Don't assume on the part that, works for your side of the argument.
But you're assuming that they had a conversation that Tom said, my mortgage is X, I need you to bring in 50%. We don't know if they had that conversation. Mm-hmm. What Tom is saying is he wants a woman that wants to contribute. I'm saying that Maria doesn't want to contribute because she doesn't want to pay for a simple thing as breakfast. Mm-hmm. Like, that's embarrassing for her to pay for breakfast after she offered.
Interesting question. Why are you assuming he didn't ask?
Yeah. So don't know that. I don't know that he asked her. I can't argue that he did. All I'm saying is it wouldn't make sense for Tom at 38 to expect a 30-year-old to come into his house and pay half his mortgage. And she said 4, 5, or 6 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she just said, I don't want to move in and pay a monthly deal. Mm-hmm. She's thinking that we get married, we're together 4 to 6 years, and doesn't work out, I've just paid on your mortgage.
Yep.
That's just a weird argument to make. And I don't think that she wants to be on the deed. I think she doesn't want to pay for the mortgage, period.
That's not what she said, though. Again.
It is.
Now, we're splitting the chat because Toya's saying preach Terrell, but that's not what it is. And even Shanice is saying, oh, Maria doesn't want to spend one red cent. That is not what was said even in the pods. Wait a minute.
In the chat that agrees with you.
Oh, there are a lot of people in the chat that agree with me. Stop that. They've been posting up the whole time. You just act like you didn't see them. Stop that. But here's the point. I wanted to point this out just to make you feel good so you can feel like you actually have an argument that's going. But the point of the matter is when Tom was like, well, what if I want to stay home? She said, well, you stay your ass at home. I will go work. It doesn't matter. Y'all acted like she said she doesn't want to pay for anything. She said in the initial courtship stages, which is what a lot of women in these United States of America say. So don't act like it's a cultural thing only for her. Stop it. You're damn lying. To yourself.
Okay. So how long is the initial? You're from St. Kitts. You're not from the U.S., so you have a different perspective.
Yes, what is you're the right. Initial, is I can the see initial, the bullshit you're saying.
Is the initial courtship phase, is it 7 years? Is the initial courtship after
that is
married?
Not what,
because
that
she
is not
four,
what she
five,
said.
Because 5 or 6 years.
Because she doesn't want to pay courtship? His mortgage. You keep missing that point. You keep missing that point. She doesn't want to pay his mortgage. She said she didn't want to pay anything.
Okay,
so
if he said, you don't got to pay me rent, but you got to buy groceries, she should be okay with that.
Then if that's the discussion, then they can have that. But she said she didn't want to pay the rent.
But we
don't
want
to pay his mortgage. Yeah, exactly. But you want to argue on the point to try to prove your point, which is not going to work. It's not working.
All I got to say is Amazon Beauty, thank you.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. You
Scorpios
can only find
unite.
The people that will they'll say something for you, but you're wrong.
No, just Scorpios unite.
Yeah, you're still wrong. And
I base my opinion on things that were said. No. You're basing your opinion on what you think may have been said.
No. So that's exactly what you did.
You're over here wishing upon a star on Disney. I'm just pointing out facts.
I'm going to let you go. Go ahead. So go ahead and let you go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to make you feel good about yourself. Go ahead. Continue.
That's I feel great about myself because I don't need anybody to help pay for my mortgage. Yeah, so I feel great.
You're right. Now, here's the difference about this. Because the thing about it is that is not what you are purposely going the other route. And we're going to move on from this. But let's be honest. That is not what was said. That's not you. You want to act like you don't see anything else. You made assumptions as well.
I don't see what you're talking about. Hold on.
Of course you don't. Of course. I know I'm right. And I've been pulling up for you too, but you can only see one thing.
You're like Kevin Durant. You're in this chat twice.
Yes, I sure am. Paying the mortgage if my name is added. Exactly, which is all I said. Hey, she likes to say we sound like cable news, you know? Right. That's exactly what it can be sometimes. Let's move on to something else a little more boring. The dress fitting and tuxedo fittings.
Yeah.
I skipped right past this. We asked you guys about this because we're not going to sit here and watch the whole thing. You said, make sure you stop, watch Demi's. Did you watch it? What'd you think?
I did. I did watch Demi's deal. And what I loved about this was Demi seems like she's getting her confidence back and tells the ladies to get rid of their insecurities and all the stuff that she'd normally have in her head. And I thought this was the best Demi I've seen all season. She started out really insecure, even in the pods. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the Pod Squad get together where she seemed a lot more confident, not worried about what the other people are going to think. But I love how she's watching all these women try these dresses on.
Yep.
And she's knowing that, hey, they might be a size or two smaller and probably get in her head, but she just overcame it and just appreciated how she looked. I thought it was great for her. Great moment.
It was. What I really liked about it, though, was when I listened to her sister and her mom gush over her, right? I thought that was great. But then listen to her tell her mom that her and her dad showed what a great marriage is, what true love is. Yep. They set the example of how to love. That was really touching.
Yep. I did. I thought it was good.
It was. I felt that. And you can see even some of the other women in there mm-hmm. felt that moment. And Jasmine especially felt it because she contributed to some of that.
A little bit. She sure did.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where's that? Oh, yeah. So that's what I want to put up here. I love seeing Demi her wedding dress because that was a different one. Thank you, Amy. I like that, though. The last dates. That's a mm-hmm. whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of nothing in there. But anything stood out to you in those last dates?
A few things stood out. So Sabrina and Steven, they had their little date in the vineyard. And Steven said after she was asking, is he nervous about the wedding? He says, no, I'm not. But after the ceremony is over, the shoes will come off and the dance moves will come out. So it sounds like he's going to say yes. And then Nicole mm-hmm. and Benaiah, you know, Benaiah pulls her chair out and she calls him hubby. And so Benaiah's like, oh, I know what your answer is going to be. And then Jasmine and Bobby are talking and they feel like, you know, their love feels eternal and are excited mm-hmm. to spend the rest. So these three dates made me feel like these couples are leaning towards a yes on decision.
We're going to get to the predictions in just a few, see if we change any of our predictions from earlier after episode 4. Jasmine and Bobby, just even from at the table when Jasmine's like, he's going to be the father of your grandkids. They sound like they're all the way in, right? But one of the things that really stood out to me was Kat and Freddie mm-hmm. on their date. Because it was good. They're doing the whole ghost, clay making, and yeah. Freddie messes this up. But it's good to see them laughing again. Like, holy crap, where's this been, right? And then Kat says when she closes her eyes and listens to him, it takes her back to the pods. And I thought, that's a feeling that nobody else can really have, right? Because even when you were on the phone talking to people, you'd already gotten their number, so you'd see them beforehand. So you have a visual of them. So it's something that they can go back to. And I think that's what they kind of needed. And then I think Freddie saying that his mate, Jamie, said he'd never heard Freddie say he loved someone before.
Right.
This is, it just makes you feel good. But part of me, the evil part of me, you know, the left shoulder is thinking maybe he's just setting her up so he can get her back. Tell her no at the altar after all the crap she put him through since they left the pods.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible because he has to look at the whole picture. And I would just focus on the Pod Squad get together and how she interacted with Sam. That would be enough for me to say, hey, mm-hmm. I don't think this is going to work out.
At all. Yeah, everybody, Freddie needs to run. Freddie is too good for her cat. I said what I said.
Right.
Cat doesn't even look at him anymore since she was adopted.
Wow.
Oh, my God, y'all. Now, so let's get to the predictions, because Sam Myers says Freddie's eyes say he's going to say no at the altar, right? And so when we looked at Kat and Freddie, let's look at them first, right? Mm-hmm. We both said no. Is it still a no?
Still a no for me. Mm-hmm. Still a no for me. He needs a whole lot of things to feel sure. There's a lot about Kat that he's not sure of. No job. Lives with her mom. Those are two big mm-hmm. things for somebody who's 32 that has their life together.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And then the way mm-hmm. that she nitpicks and all that about him, the way she harps on his personality, him being silly, and his sister mm-hmm. even called it out like, hey, maybe she's not for you. I think Freddie's going to be a no.
Yeah. They're saying there's a lot of no's in there. And there was a special comment from Nikki B who says, Freddie is fine as hell. And if Kat don't want him, I'll slam dunk him tonight.
Nightgown him. Nikki B will nightgown him.
Oh, Oh, y'all are off the chain. Yo, Jay Marie says Freddie's a yes for me. He better say no. Paris says there's still a no. Everybody say no. Freddie's a no. Amazon Beauty does say that Freddie, no. Kat will say yes if she goes first. That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, let's look at Jasmine and Bobby. I said no. You said yes. Do you still feel yes?
I still feel yes, despite his interaction with his future mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to say yes.
Yeah. I'm changing mine, so I'm going yes, too, because I absolutely agree. I think these two are on the same page, despite the mother-in-law. So
yeah,
Marissa can't stop this. Jasmine's got to grow some. She's got to grow some.
She's not going to.
She's got to stop this because that can't be. Even though now Kendra says Bobby's a no. Nikki says I think both Jasmine and Bobby are yes. Pink Butterfly, Bobby, yes. Yeah, so yes for both. I'm right there. So that's why I had to change my answer, because looking at what has happened over the last couple episodes, I think they're definitely yes. Sabrina and Steven, are they still your Tiffany and Brett?
100%. They're both going to say yes. I feel it. Feel it in my bones. I know deep down in my knower, they're going to say yes.
I agree. I totally agree. Demi and Ollie. Ollie, I said yes. You said no. Are you still a no?
I'm a yes now. I really think Ollie is all in on Demi because of the connection. Right now, I feel like they're showing how the experiment works. Because Ollie normally goes for a certain type. Demi is not so much that type, but everything she brings is better than anything Ollie's ever had. And the way that she can read and connect with him better than any other woman has, Ollie would be a fool to say no. So I feel like they're going to say yes.
You know, so interesting, because Paris says Demi yes, Ollie no. Sammy says I think Ollie will say no. Mimi says yes. Demi... is it Ollie showing growth from Shanice? And Elsa says, Demi, yes, Ollie, no. Here's the thing. Tamara says, Ollie, no. But Happy Gardner says, I think both Ollie and Demi are yes. And here's the thing about this, right? I've learned not to trust the previews.
Yep.
And they're showing that part where he's saying, well, I wonder if we're better off as friends. And I'm like, that is great. I like what they did there. Good job, editors, producers. Good job. But you're not getting me this time. I said yes the first time. I'm saying yes again. You say yes. I think there are a lot of yeses on this show.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up, Mariah. My bad. I keep messing her name up. Maria and Tom.
Dorica, where are you at? Maria and Tom?
No, because I said no last time. You said yes last time.
I'm saying no.
You're changing
Tom
your answer.
Tom wants someone to help. Yeah, I'm changing my answer. Tom wants someone that's got to pay for breakfast every now and then. And
no, he wants somebody to help pay that mortgage.
Yeah, he wants somebody to help chip in on the bill. And Maria's already said, I'm not doing all that. So, and I think Tom still doesn't
respect rightfully the fact
that she's a makeup artist. I think he still doesn't respect her job or career field. So I think it's going to be
I can't wait till she has the last laugh. And like Elsa said, Tom go to Tasha. That's exactly what I think. I think he's let Tasha come in his head, and that's what he's accustomed to. The thought of Maria was exciting to him. The Moroccan, I think that's the part that really excited him. It's exotic. And
right.
Because remember, he was so torn between the two. And you asked how did he get that sexual chemistry? That's how. Right here.
But financially, Tosh is more his speed.
You don't know that. Because
that's what it seems like.
She's a geek. Is that why you're saying that? So she's a geek, so she's got money. I know a lot of broke geeks, too.
No, she's an ambitious geek, which is what Tom like is ambition.
And who says Maria isn't ambitious?
She's not.
How you figure that?
Here's why I figure that. I say that she's not ambitious.
He doesn't like Maria, by the way.
No, I like Maria. I really do. But here's the difference. Tosh is ambitious at the level that Tom likes. Uh-huh. When it comes to career, it makes sense. Tom can't see ambition in somebody that's a makeup artist. Now, the fact that she's a makeup artist doesn't say she's not ambitious. Mm-hmm. It's just Tom can't see it as easily. And he needs to be able to see
that I agree with
ambition.
You.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. It's like her level of ambition doesn't match Tom's. That's the problem.
Terrell is as rude as Marissa. Thank you, Danny.
Wow, Danny, did I make you mad today? Goodness. I don't think I said anything that bad, Danny. My fault. I'm not rude. I don't know these people. I would never be as rude as Marissa did in person. And we've met people that we've talked about on the podcast, and I'm the same. When I talk to them, when I talk about them, and I meet them in person, I'm like, hey, you were wrong for what you said, but it's what you said.
Tamara says, Tom looks down on Maria. Absolutely. Desiree says, Tom wants someone who will go to work right after she drops the first baby. You get 2 weeks. Get your ass back to work.
Wait, the baby sleep, right? Why can't you do this? You can work.
You can paint somebody's face like that, put that red lipstick on. He should have said no after the red lipstick, but I was just going to say that and leave that alone. Nicole and Homeless Jesus. Oh, my bad. I don't want to offend anybody else. HBJ. Now, last time I said yes, you said no. Are you still a no?
No, I'm a yes now. Because I said no, because I thought that Benaya was going to say, hey, no, I'm not interested. I'm your number two. I think they've crossed that bridge and they got over it. So I say yes to this couple.
You know, I'm torn because I want him to say no. I just don't know that he is strong enough to say no. The fact that she wouldn't address what Sam said, that's obviously working his last nerve, is a problem. So for me, I would have said no, but I'm not HBJ. So I'm going to have to stick with my yes that I had there.
He hasn't had a relationship since 2013.
Yeah.
So big difference. It'd be one thing if he was just the player of the year and had all these options, but apparently he hasn't. And so I think he found somebody that he feels a connection with better than anybody he might have briefly dated or just interacted with. He feels something. And he's going to go all in with it. I really think this couple's going to say yes.
J. Marie says, Nicole better get a suitcase ready. Say yes from both of them. Titanium Tectonic says, I wanted to say no because he's homeless.
He's not homeless. He's just kind of he's a nomad. Nomad. He's just
like said earlier, surfing. Nomad equal homeless.
He's couch surfing.
Hey, Amy says, get it right, Yanni. It's unhoused Jesus. Sheesh.
We call it mangerless Jesus. Would that be better?
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. He never had a house. He had a manger. He could build his own bed.
he didn't have a manger. He didn't have any of that.
Yes, they'll roam the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights together. Yeah. BK Storyteller says, I think homeless Jesus has a hidden stash of money. He could.
His tomb was empty because he doesn't live there. That's why the tomb was empty.
Now they can come for both of us.
Yes. There you go.
They're going to be in the comments like, who that? Yo, this has been a blast. Love you guys, man. Do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. Hit the bell for notifications. And yes, this is actually how we talk all the time. Disagreements we have, that's exactly how this podcast started. Yeah. So that's nothing out of the norm. We are cable news, indeed.
Yeah, we are. But this has been our friendship for 30 years. We debate, like what y'all see, we're probably worse in person or just even on the phone. Like we go at each other all the time because I think we both
Because Terrell hates when I'm right. That's why.
I think we both like to be right. I did have to call out something. Which one did I mark? Okay, right here where Tamara Augustine says Maria wants to be with a man like Terrell where she does not have to worry about the mortgage. I did say I would cover the mortgage, but she'd have to pay something.
She never said she wouldn't pay for anything.
I don't get that she wants to. My vibe says she.
Let me ask you a question.
At all.
In the early stages of dating, how many out of 10 dates, the first 10 dates, initial courtship, how many of those dates do you expect the woman to pay?
I expect her to, one of the first four dates, I expect her to either pay or chip in. Mm-hmm. I pay attention to it because if I notice that I'm the only one.
But you're not going to ask her to. You never.
I'm not going to ask her. I just want to see if she does. If she doesn't voluntarily.
See if she at least offers. Up, yes.
She doesn't offer. Then by date five, I'm done. I'm not interested because mm-hmm. I know how this movie ends where you want me mm-hmm. to pay for everything. And that's not what I'm about because mm-hmm. you can't. I had someone I dated briefly. Tell the story. Take me 5 seconds. Dated someone briefly.
Four.
She had really good taste of what she liked. Never offered a credit card to pay for anything. I did all the time. So you got Ruth Chris taste, but you never want to offer to pay? That's mm-hmm. a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell said, let's be clear. Chocolate Suda says, get Terrell's list out. Yeah, exactly. It's those, but these are the things, man. And IL says, I'm with Maria, old-fashioned/traditional.
That just says, I want someone to pay for me all the time. That's what a guy hears.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Because on
that's
the flip exactly side, if I say I want a woman that's old-fashioned and traditional, which means I want you to cook, clean, do laundry, I bet there's going to be a debate about that.
Now, BK Storyteller says, this is an interesting one, said, I remember paying for a date in trauma as my date ordered $200 worth of food. That's when you get your ass up from the table and you walk out.
Wow. Why would you say if he $200? Yeah.
If you see a man try to take advantage because you are offering to pay, you get your ass up, hey, and you walk the hell out.
Yeah.
And block him. And hopefully you didn't let him come to the house to pick you up.
Yeah. See? Tamara says, 1 out of 4 dates is fair.
It's fair.
I agree.
But that's not, but again, that's your expectation. It's not what a lot of people do. There's some people who expect the man to pay for all of them early, and I get it. Some people do.
Amazon Beauty, thank you. I agree.
Ain't getting up off him, no.
Get up off Terrell now.
Nope. Mm-mm. Keep pressure applied. Double down, damn it. Hey, by the way, just I want to point this out. The Christie says, I haven't paid on a date in years. Is that why I'm single?
No. I wouldn't say that's why you're single. But I do think that men, especially older men, we're not talking about guys in your 20s, 30s. I think our audience isn't even in that crowd anyway. But men look at the type of woman I'm dating. Is she expecting me to pay for everything? Or mm-hmm. they even offer? Like, I don't mind if I pay to go to Ruth Chris. And then we go to another bar to have drinks, and you pick up that tab. So I paid mm-hmm. $250 for the night. You paid $30 for another cocktail. That's a win. Mm-hmm. All we're saying is, are you offering to do anything at all?
All right. She likes the tweet, says we need to do a random thoughts on this. Make a note, please.
Okay. Done.
All right. There you go. And we'll do it. Yes, and Danny, he did call us all. So. We'll do a random thoughts live on this very topic. When should the woman start paying, or should she even? please do us a favor. Hey, you got to throw a little controversy in there.
Yeah,
you got to work somebody's nerve, either the man or the woman. Damn it! hit that like button, subscribe if you're not subscribed, and hit that bell for notifications. I'm Yanni Rude,
and I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at the RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find online, and we'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.